of worship and happy Easter.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Good morning. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Yes, it is still the Easter season. We are still celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. It's the fourth Sunday of Easter today, which is also known as Good Shepherd Sunday. So you notice that with the first hymn that we sang, and this will be a theme for our worship this morning, the idea that Jesus Christ is our Good Shepherd and that we can trust him as he leads us and guides us. And today is also Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to all of the moms out there. We certainly do give thanks to God for the gift of motherhood. And with the advent of our current technology, I can actually say, "Hi, Mom," and she can see me back home. So that's pretty awesome. We will certainly be giving thanks to God for our mothers in our prayer of the church this morning as well. Our worship service today will follow Divine Service Setting 2, and that begins on page 167. I'll invite you to please stand as we begin our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Continue now with the introit, which is printed for you on the inside cover of the bulletin. I am the Good Shepherd. He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. With upright heart, he shepherded them. But we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the Good Shepherd. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. Our first reading today, which is appointed for the fourth Sunday of Easter, Good Shepherd Sunday, is from the book of Acts, chapter 20, beginning with verse 17. Now, from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
With the water, marked by a sacred sign.
For our epistle reading today, we have a passage from St. John's Revelation, chapter 7, beginning with verse 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word of God, we now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith, along with millions of Christians around the world. Today we will confess the Nicene Creed. We confess together, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We'll now turn to our sermon hymn, which is number 710, "The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today has not actually been officially read in our worship service yet. It's not one of the big three readings. But we did, in a way, just sing it. We are going to think about Psalm 23, which is, of course, the Good Shepherd Psalm. And I'm going to go ahead and read it. I know a lot of us have it memorized. If you want to follow along, it is in the front portion of the hymnal, or you could find it real quick in your pew Bible. But the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, to be a shepherd and to be a mother, these are two really important and really unique vocations from God that actually share a number of similarities, even though we don't normally think about them together quite often, right? We don't often think about motherhood and shepherdhood, but we have this kind of rare opportunity to think about them at the same time today because of the day that Mother's Day happened to fall. So it's Mother's Day, but it also, as I mentioned before, happens to be the fourth Sunday of Easter. And on the fourth Sunday of Easter, that's when the church always recognizes Jesus as our Good Shepherd. So we can think about Mother's Day and Good Shepherd Sunday together. And both of those vocations, mothers and shepherds, involve doing things that are caring and nurturing and often protecting those who are in their care. And in either case, whether you happen to be a mom or you happen to be a shepherd, you're usually having to do things or make decisions that are not often understood by the very ones that you are called to serve. Certainly not by the sheep. And a lot of times, kids don't understand what their moms are doing or why. I'll give you an example from my own life and talking about my own mom. So when I was a kid, as a family, it was a priority for us to go on vacation. Pretty much every year, we would go somewhere, usually in the summer. And it wasn't always a big extravagant vacation, but, you know, because of where I grew up in Connecticut and around New England, you know, like if we're going to go somewhere close by, it's going to sound real fancy, you know. We need to go to Cape Cod this summer. We need to go to Martha's Vineyard. You got to keep your pinky up when you talk about, you know, New England vacations. But occasionally we would go further away. And there were a couple of years where we actually went all the way down to North Carolina. We went to the Outer Banks and spent some time at the beach. And I remember this one time, I was pretty little, but I remember it very well because even though there's a lot of good memories and a lot of things to smile about when I think about those vacations with my family, there's some things that would happen that would be very, very serious and maybe even borderline traumatic, okay? How's that for a teaser? But I remember this one trip. I mean, it was July. I know it was July because I know that at one point the Major League Baseball All-Star Game was on the television on that vacation. So it was July. It was hot. It was sunny. And where we were staying, there was a pool in it. You know, so when we weren't out at the beach, sometimes we just hang out by the pool. And I remember that I was one day just like running around close to the edge of the pool, which I know you're not supposed to do, okay? So kids, don't try this at home. I shouldn't have done this, but I did it. I was like running around and throwing caution to the wind, okay? It was surrounded with a wooden deck on all four sides, and I was running around barefoot. And so, of course, as I'm running around by the pool, I end up getting a splinter, right? Which some of you might remember last year, I mentioned in a sermon that my son Zachary had gotten a splinter and he was playing outside, right? So like father, like son, very, very similar situations. I was really devastated. I was crying. I'm like screaming and just need some help, right? I don't know what to do. I got this big giant piece of wood. It probably wasn't that big, but in my little kid memory brain, right? It's like a 2-inch long splinter at least, right? So I'm all upset. And then who shows up to help me? Mom, right? So mom's there and she comes out and I explained to her what was wrong and I already was starting to feel better because just having her there, I wasn't alone, right? She came over right away. So just having her right by my side, that was wonderful. But then there inevitably comes the moment where you realize what mom is about to do. Right? So then she went to go get her tweezers and she's about to perform surgery and now I'm really scared again, right? It's a dirty job. Somebody's got to do it. Moms, you've been there and done that. I know you have, right? So it's a terrible moment for if you're a kid, you're really scared. Like, why are you going to hurt me with those tweezers? Mom, don't. Anything but that. Don't do it. But in the end, it's obvious that she was doing that because she wanted to help me, not hurt me, right? And so it takes maybe a few years to learn. You look back on those moments and, you know, it could be not just a splinter, it could be anything. Your mom wants you to eat your vegetables, right? Or whatever it is that you don't feel like doing or you don't understand why she's telling you to do it, but it's not because she's trying to hurt you, it's because she's trying to help you. That's really the key to remember. And you can relate that to shepherds too. So I was thinking about how shepherds raise sheep in lots of different corners of the world, but one of the places where it's kind of like they're famous for raising sheep, where in fact sheep outnumber people, is in Australia. So I learned that down in Australia there's like a population of about 25 and a half million people, something like that. But there's about 75 million sheep, so there's like 3 sheep to every person on the entire continent of Australia. And what that means is not only are there a lot of sheep, but there's a lot of wool. And so the Australian shepherds, they know that a few days out of the year, there's going to be these really long days where the sheep have to be shorn. A lot of times the sheep will go a whole year before they'll have their wool shorn in Australia. So what happens is, you know, the wool accumulates on the backs of these sheep and gets really thick and heavy. And so by the time it's time for the sheep to be shorn, those sheep are really, really tired, you know, carrying all that weight around. They become more susceptible to diseases. They can't really run away from predators very well. And so this moment comes where the shepherd arrives with the shears. Now, when this happens, usually the sheep will approach the shepherd and they'll start with the sheep's belly. They'll do these really long strokes on the belly, and then they go to the side and the back and the other side, and then a few last swipes on the legs and the top of the head, and the sheep is ready to go. But they have to do a lot of sheep in a short amount of time, so they can't always be extremely careful. And so sometimes what will happen is a freshly shorn sheep, it's like a tongue twister in the sermon today, a freshly shorn sheep will have a lot of, you know, cuts and scrapes, and they'll be bleeding a little bit. Bleeding and bleeding, right? Like bleeding, bah, and bleeding. Yeah, get it? Okay, good. So the whole process takes about 3 minutes or so. This is, I don't have any personal experience of this, guys, so it's all just what I've learned through Google, but it takes about 3 minutes, and then the sheep is ready to begin a whole new year's worth of growth. But, of course, the sheep will trust the shepherd to do what the shepherd has to do, even though you wonder if the sheep leaves there in some pain because of all of the cuts and the scrapes that happen in the natural process. When we consider the compassion that our Lord Jesus Christ has for us as his people, and we compare that to the love that a mother has for her children, or to the care that a shepherd might show for his sheep, we might imagine that the Christian life should be really cute and warm and soft and fuzzy, you know, like we tend to think about our moms and shepherds and little lambs and all of those things. But when we look at what Scripture has to say, and in particular when we take a closer look at that 23rd Psalm, which a lot of us have memorized, right, a lot of us have heard many, many times throughout our lives, you get to especially verse 4, and what you read is, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now that's an important word, comfort. Psalm 23 is a psalm of comfort for sure. But the reason why the comfort has to come is because we are often in the midst of some really difficult and dark things. There's 150 psalms in the book of Psalms. I don't know if you realize that. There's 150 of them. There's a reason why the 23rd Psalm is probably one of the most, or if not the most, familiar to us. And it's because when we read through that psalm, I think we see ourselves and what's going on in our own lives a lot of the time. And not only that, but where are the places that we normally hear Psalm 23? Well, a lot of times it's like maybe when you're at the bedside of a loved one who is sick or maybe even dying. That's when you're going to pray Psalm 23. It's when you're at a funeral. And in the funeral liturgy, we often will read and pray Psalm 23. Or maybe if not in the funeral service itself, certainly at the graveside committal, you'll hear Psalm 23. That's the way that it goes. That's the way it goes for Christians in life, and that's the way it's gone for Christians all over the world for the last 2,000 years. Wherever there has been Christianity, there has been suffering. It was definitely true in the days of the early church. We get a really good picture of that in our first reading today in Acts, where you're seeing Paul, and he's giving this farewell speech to the elders, the pastors in Ephesus. He knows he's never going to see them again. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And this farewell speech, these are people that he knows very well. These are friends of Paul's. But he knows how difficult life is going to be, not just for himself, but also for them. He talks about how he knows when he goes to Jerusalem, he's going to experience persecution. He might even be thrown in jail. He talks to them about how they, in their congregations, are going to have wolves coming in to attack the flock. Life is not going to be easy for them. There will be people even from within the church that are going to rise up and speak a whole bunch of twisted things. That's what it says in that passage. And of course, if we know our church history, we know that it wasn't just limited to that time. But there have been often many threats from both inside and outside the church from the beginning, and it certainly continues to this day. Christians are often walking through life barefoot, getting splinters, or, put it another way, with a whole bunch of weight on our back. And we are vulnerable as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Are we surprised by that? Are we surprised that one of the marks of a Christian is to suffer? Are we surprised that life isn't always easy, that it's not always unicorns and rainbows for the people of God? We probably shouldn't be, because Christ himself promises that if we are to follow him, we're going to take up our crosses and follow him. You know, something that is different between people and sheep is that whereas, you know, you'll have the kid who's afraid of what the tweezers are going to feel like, and he starts screaming and crying. But with the sheep is quiet. As the sheep approaches the shepherd who's holding the shears, the sheep is quiet. In fact, as the sheep is being shorn, the sheep is silent. Even though you might look at a sheep and you might think about how painful that process could be, we have an even greater comparison in Christ. Christ, who experienced way more than just a shearing, but who experienced a beating and a flogging and a crucifixion, way more than just a splinter in his heel, right? But splinters from the wood of the cross and a crown of thorns being pressed into his scalp. So when Christ goes through those things, he also doesn't cry out saying that he's being treated unfairly. He doesn't act in any way like you might expect of somebody who's being punished as an innocent man. But it's just as Isaiah once prophesied. Like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he, Jesus, opened not his mouth. It's hard for us to understand sometimes why following Jesus means that we might have to also suffer like Jesus. It's discouraging for us at times to feel like we have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and we might wonder where in the world we can find any sort of comfort. But amazingly enough, just like the child who gets the splinter taken out of their foot, the comfort is found in the hand of the one who's holding the tweezers, even though the tweezers hurt. For the sheep, the comfort is found in the shepherd who is holding the shears, even though the shears hurt. Why does the mother insist on torturing her child by pulling out that splinter? It's because she knows that if she leaves it in, there's a good chance it's going to become infected. Why does the shepherd bother torturing the sheep with the shears? Because he knows the sheep needs to shed the wool in order to survive. The Lord allows suffering in your life. And in a lot of cases, there's absolutely no way for you, in your limited perspective, to understand why. You don't understand what the Lord is doing. I don't understand what the Lord's doing sometimes when I suffer either. But what we do know for sure is that when the Lord causes suffering or allows suffering, he does it so that we will draw closer to him. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. That is a promise that is made to us. And so we know that we are drawn closer, that we cling tighter to the rod and the staff of our good shepherd, even in those moments when we are suffering, so that in the end, the infection and the weight of sin is not what causes our demise, but so that we will live free as his children forever and ever. And that's what allows us to follow the voice of our good shepherd. We can follow that voice even when things aren't going our way. We can follow that voice even when life is hard and stressful, because we trust, even if we don't understand it, we trust that our good shepherd will never lead us astray. Think of the things that your shepherd has already done. He has already led you beside the still waters in your holy baptism. He lays out a table before you in the presence of your enemies when he offers you his body and blood in holy communion. So therefore, you can be confident in the promises that surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We do have a few updates for the prayers this week. We continue to pray for Imogen Silger. She was in the hospital, had briefly gone back to Fireside House in Centralia, and then found out she had to go back to the hospital toward the end of this past week. She is now fighting an infection, so we'll continue to pray for her. Norma Mashoff also remains hospitalized. She's been improving little by little. The next step for her is she will be transferred at some point to the nursing home in Aviston, but she just hasn't been able to be discharged yet. Hopefully that'll be coming soon. Not on your prayer list, we will be including today Deb Lange, a teacher at TSJ Lutheran School in Nashville. We do give thanks to God that she was able to receive a new heart and a new liver on Thursday up at the Mayo Clinic. She is doing very well. And we pray that her recovery will go well. She's got a long road ahead of her. So with all that, let us please stand and go to our God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, in your name, your Son purchased us with his own most holy blood and he now leads us through the gate of death to our eternal home with you. As the sheep of his fold, inspire us to hear his voice gladly and to follow him steadfastly through every tribulation. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, shepherd of our souls, your servant Paul entrusted his flock to the care of faithful men, urging them to follow him in the way of Christ. Bless your church today under the care of her pastors, and instill in them all wisdom, fortitude, humility, and grace. Be especially with all of our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and our sister congregation, Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School in Oakville, and their pastor, Eric Wood. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate Lord, you will not allow any power or enemy to triumph over your saving purpose or snatch your lambs from your hand. Give us wise and faithful leaders who will govern in our land according to your law and defend the lives of the unborn, the orphaned, the widowed, and the aged. Bless all those who make, administer, and judge our laws, that they may not hinder your purpose. We thank you for providing us with protection by means of our country's military, and we ask you to bless those who serve, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, and Lucas. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you have provided us with the gift of family. On this Mother's Day, bless those who have shown us a mother's love and nurtured our lives from childhood. Bless and protect all mothers who are currently expecting, all those who have suffered miscarriage or the death of a child, and all those who have yearned for a child and lived with the pain of this unfulfilled longing. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for all of your great blessings to us here on this earth. We thank you for the rain which you have sent to water the earth. We ask you to continue to provide favorable weather during this planting season. We also rejoice with those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Eowyn, Randy, Dennis, Emily, Ronald, Carlene, and Kelsey. May we all grow closer to you with each passing year. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, you have not forgotten us in our afflictions or abandoned us in our weakness. Deliver the sick and suffering according to your will and give your comfort to the dying, especially to those who have requested our prayers, including all those who are in care facilities, Nancy, Thretta, Ferris, Wilfred, Bill, Richard, Carlene, Helen, Jim, Bessie, and Brian. We lift before you all those who are hospitalized, especially Imogene and Norma and Deb, and all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, including Daryl, Joan, Wayne, Amy, Patrick, Elaine, Rebecca, Beulah, Carolyn, Doug, Millie, Bradley, Kenny, Don, Wayne, Andrea, Linda, Missy, Chris, Sam, Paula, and all those who are fighting cancer. Guard us against despair and grant us patience in the days of our trouble as we await your perfect healing. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal Lord, by your grace, bless all who receive our Lord's body and blood in the sacrament this day, as they receive the same body and blood given into death and raised again for their justification. Grant them the joy of the forgiveness of sins and the power of an endless life. Help them by this sacrament to live out their baptismal life, dying in repentance and being raised in the faith. Lord, in your mercy. All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. And at this time, I will invite our ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Please stand. We turn now to page 176 and we sing together the words of the offertory. We continue now with our service of the sacrament on page 177. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying he has destroyed death, and by his rising again he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Please stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We'll turn now to our post-communion canticle on page 181. Thank the Lord.
The Lord and sing his praise. Tell everyone what he has done. Let everyone who seeks the Lord rejoice and proudly bear his name. He recalls his promises and leads his people forth in joy with shouts of thanksgiving. Alleluia, alleluia.
Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. And our closing hymn will be number 711, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. Good morning. Thank you to those of you who helped with the worship today, ushers and elders. Thanks to the mixed choir for singing. Thank you, Lori, for playing. And also, I wanted to say once again, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. I know that this is a day which brings a lot of joy, but sometimes sadness, depending on a person's situation or the situation in your family. The brokenness of sin makes life kind of messy in this world. But let's just join together in giving thanks to God for the institution of motherhood. Let's just do that. I pray those of you who are planning celebrations with your moms or the moms in your life, I pray that you have a blessed day. We have a few announcements before we leave today. There are Mother's Day roses available for sale at the cost of $2 a piece. You can purchase one on your way out of worship today. And all of the proceeds for those roses will go to support the Washington County Right to Life. So please consider doing that. Tomorrow night is meeting night, so we've got meetings for stewardship, Board of Ed, and elders happening tomorrow evening. Wednesday will be Women's Bible Study. Also wanted to make sure this is still on your radar, but a week from today, next Sunday, immediately following worship, we're asking our voters to please stick around. We're going to have a special voters assembly meeting to discuss the potential building that has been offered to Trinity, which could possibly be used as a fellowship hall if we decide to receive that gift. But we need to hear from the committee, and we need to make a decision together as to whether we want to receive that gift or not. So that will be next Sunday, immediately following the worship service. And then 2 weeks from now, which would be Sunday the 22nd, there is going to be that senior social event. And there is a sign-up sheet available. If you already know that you want to come, we would love to have you sign up and let us know that. It says that there will be Kretzer's fried chicken supplied for part of the meal, so that sounds delicious, and more information to follow. So please consider coming to that event. Are there any other announcements today? Yes, Kathy. Okay, the chimes will play tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Thank you. Anything else today? Okay, once again, have a happy Mother's Day. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us today.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.